pleasant evening to you. Good to see this number out. Good to see Brother John Wesley out this evening. Appreciate him being here. And good to have everyone that we can come together and study the Word of God this evening. If you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew in the 8th chapter, and that's where we'll begin our study. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Freddie has suggested. If you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ, all things have been made ready. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, as we stand and sing, we ask you make your way to the front where we can help you with any spiritual need. When you begin reading in Matthew chapter 8, look with me at verse 28. When he'd come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tomb exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demon begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to depart. If I were to ask you this evening to describe this world, how would you describe it? I think the way I would describe it, when I look out at this world and I look out at this nation and even this city and many times even local churches, I would describe it as a valley of tears, because we observe on every hand evil. And as you look out, it doesn't take long to see where man has tried to call that which is evil good and that which is good evil. And as you look on your television or you turn on the radio or you open the newspaper, you'll find that this day and time is just filled with trouble. But you know, that's not anything new. You go back and look in the days of Noah, and you will recall that even in the days of Noah, it was a godless society. And even when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, you'll find that many did not live according to the dictate of the Word of God. And the problem I think we have in the year 2021 is we live in a Christless nation. Not only do we live in a Christless nation, many times we live in a Christless city. I want you to take note of what happened in the book of Matthew and the 8th chapter. And notice at this time, demon possession was something that occurred. Now, to my understanding, when the miracle ceased that the people could perform with the works of Jesus, it seems that there came a time demon possession also ceased. And one thing I do recognize, though, that does not mean the devil has ceased in his work. I recognize tonight that the devil is about trying to seek whom he may devour, and he's putting temptation in front of men and women, and he's using this world so that individuals will sin against the Holy God. He is called in 2 Corinthians 4:4 the God of this age, the God of this world. This is the only kingdom the devil ever had. But when God brings forth judgment, the devil will be cast into hell fire. But I want you to think about the conditions of this day in the book of Matthew and the 8th chapter. Notice at this time, there were some men who had demon possession. And notice that the Bible describes these men, that they were there, and notice when they were there, when Jesus came, that they began to plead with Jesus. Now take your Bible and look in the book of Mark, and notice the account Mark has in Mark chapter 5. When he gives this account, notice that he begins to talk about, in verse 3, that there was a man who dwelt among them who had the spirit, unclean spirit. And notice it said he was dwelling among the tombs and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And every time they tried to tame him or chain him down or shackle him, that man would break the chains. And so here was a man who was wild. He was a man that Mark described as one who was not able to be tamed. He lived among the tombs, and he could not be restrained. But then if you take your Bible, I want you to take note what he says when he saw Jesus. I want you to think about, here is a demon, and you remember James said that even the demons believe and tremble. And when this one who is identified in Mark's account as Legion, because there were many demons in this man, when he saw Jesus, he started to say, "Why have you come, you Christ, you Son of God?" He began to confess him. He knew who he was. But you ever notice Jesus did not want the demons to confess him? Because they would try to take the good news and twist it into bad news. And notice when Jesus was there in the book of Matthew and the 8th chapter, that here they came and they began to beg. They said, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God?" Then look at their question. "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" What time? The time of judgment. Eternity. When the judgment will come and the verdict will be handed down. But then if you take your Bible, notice what is said in the book of Mark in the 5th chapter. And when you go back to Mark's account of this, notice that they do something that just might shock you. In Mark chapter 5, notice that they begin to beg Jesus. Look in verse 10. Notice in verse 10, "He begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country." Now then, I want you to take note of that. There was something in that locality where the demons felt comfortable. Have you ever thought that in that society it was so godly, so Christ-like, was so without morality that the demons did not want to leave that region? In fact, the business, they pleaded and begged to be cast into the swine. Now, we know this is Gentile country for that very reason. Jews did not keep swine. So here they are in Gentile country. The demon said, "Instead of casting us out of the region, and you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, go. But when you take your Bible, you'll notice after he said go, after they had begged for him to allow them to go into the swine, that the swine began to run violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. There they go into the Sea of Galilee and drown. Now then, I want that picture in your mind. Can you just imagine these pigs running down a steep incline into the sea? I wasn't here, but I know Brother Buck Chumley, old Ham, I guess he talked about this passage is what I'm thinking. When you look down and see all the swine just floating in the Sea of Galilee. But that brings up another thought in our study. I want you to stop and notice that the people come. And notice what they say to Jesus. When they came to Jesus, they saw the Son of God just like the man possessed with demons. And yet the demons recognized the authority of Jesus, and they begged Jesus to let them go into the swine. But notice when the people came, they plead and they beg with Jesus to leave. Now just imagine, here was a man who'd been in their midst, living in their community or outside their community, near the sea, who could not be shackled, who could not be restrained, who would hurt himself, lived among the tombs, and when Jesus came and healed that man and saw the man sitting in his mind, instead of rejoicing, they looked over the side of the hill, saw their pigs floating, and they said, "You know what? We want you to leave." They were more concerned about what they lost financially than they were that one man being in his right mind. They began to plead with Jesus to leave. And notice in Matthew 8, it said the whole city came out. Can you imagine that whole city as they come out and they look over and see the pigs and they look at Jesus, and instead of being one who was awed by the miracle, they begin to plead, "Leave us." Now it's interesting. The demons wanted to stay, but the people wanted Jesus to leave. That's what you call a Christless city. That's what you see when they left. And notice what Jesus does in Matthew 9:1. Jesus does not force them. Notice what is said in Matthew 9. in verse 1, Jesus gets in the boat and Jesus departs. I want you to think about that, that Jesus went back, and notice he went to his own city. He didn't force them. He didn't say, no, I'm going to stay. When they said leave, he left. Now then, I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lessons yours. Have you thought about how many Christless cities there are, even in Alabama? And when you look across this nation of ours, have you ever thought about at one time people had a respect for Bible authority? At one time there were people that would respect God's Word, but today it's mocked, it's belittled, it's ridiculed on every hand. And I'll tell you something. What we need to see is the power of evil. Because just when you look out, you'll find people are starting to call good evil and evil good, and they'll say greed is good. That you don't get anywhere in life unless you have selfish ambition. And they start teaching our children from the times that they're little tots that they need to put themselves first. And it's not follow God's Word. It's follow what you want. And so many times what has happened is we have told our children they can do whatever they want and be whatever they want to the point that they have just disregarded what God has told them to do. That brings up another thought. We must never underestimate sin. We must never laugh at sin. I'll tell you what bothers me in 2021 is you can flip on the television and you can see something immoral and we sit back and laugh at it. Have you ever thought about how we laugh at sin? I'll tell you what, my friend, the next time you get tempted to laugh at something sinful on television, you laugh at something that's ungodly, I'll tell you, you think of Jesus on the cross. Let me ask you this. Do you think a drunk walking down the side of the road as he staggers back and forth is funny? You wouldn't think it's funny if it was your child. You wouldn't think it was funny if it was your grandchild addicted to alcohol. And many times we laugh when we ought to weep. David said, flow down from mine eyes because they keep not thy law. But that raises a third question. What if Christ came to this city? Now you may say, now preacher, one thing you need to know in Athens, Alabama, we got a lot of local churches of Christ that are conservative and sound. That's not what I asked. What I asked is, how would this city respond to Christ? How many people do you think would ask Jesus to leave because they felt uncomfortable because he's in their presence? And many times we sit back and act like we would be comfortable. I'll tell you, my friend, when you saw Christ, and you saw His holiness, it's one thing to behold. That brings up another question. How would we respond if Christ came to our home? Oh, that's an important question. Would you feel at ease talking to Jesus about the Bible, or would you be concerned that He might look over at the television set and see what you're watching? Would you be concerned with what you might find in your home? But my friend, I just want to know, would you welcome Him into your home freely? And a lot of that really depends on how much is He in your home right now. How much time do we spend in Bible study and prayer? And how much time do we spend talking about spiritual things with our family? That brings up another question. How many local churches would tell Him to depart? Now that's a serious question. Take your Bible and look with me in the Revelation letter for just a moment. And notice that Jesus is knocking, and this can be used in two different ways. But look, if you will, in Revelation chapter 3. And notice what the Bible says in verse 20. In verse 20, when He is knocking, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." This is after He talked about the church of Laodicea being lukewarm. Then He goes to the individual. And I want to know, my friend, is Jesus in your heart? is Jesus dwelling within you by faith? Have you opened the door of your heart so that He can come in? Is there room in there? Of all the places you do not want Christ to be missing, it's in your heart. And so I raise the question tonight. Are we headed towards a Christless city? How long would it take for Athens to become a city that's just filled with immorality and every kind of thing you could think of? I want you to take your Bible for just a moment and go to the book of Acts in the 18th chapter. When Paul was going to the city of Corinth, Corinth was known for its ungodliness. In fact, the business, if something was called a Corinth, it was basically a put-down saying that they're ungodly, that they're filled with the pleasures of this world. They're doing something that is immoral. And notice that when Paul was going, the Lord spoke to him in verse 9 and said, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent." Now, Paul, where are you going? Athens, Alabama? Oh, no, I'm going to Corinth. Paul, what kind of people are there? Well, in 1 Corinthians 6, he gives a list. He said there were sexual immorality, adulterers, idolaters, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, you name it. Paul, you're going to go there? Yes. Well, what are you going to tell him, Paul? Well, Paul said, the Lord said, speak and do not keep silent. If Paul's going to go into Corinth and preach, shouldn't you and I be preaching in Athens, Alabama? And then the Lord said, for I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Two words about that. There may have already been Christians there, but the Lord is also talking about in potential. There's a lot of people who have the potential to be Christians. And notice the Lord didn't give him a list of who to go to. He just said, you go, you preach, and they'll respond. He didn't say, go to this one's house, and this one's house, and this one's house. He said, you go, you do not keep silence, you preach the gospel, because there's a lot of people who are lost in Corinth, and when they hear the gospel, it has the power to save. I'll tell you, my friend, that gospel still has that power tonight. We think that all of Athens, Alabama and Limestone County is converted. I'll tell you, my friend, there are people lost in their sin that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are many people in this city that need to hear the word. And the day we sit back and think, well, we've got a lot of local churches, that, my friend, doesn't mean that the majority of the people are right with God. And it doesn't take long to become a Christless city. And it doesn't become long for a church to become Christless because we don't teach our children, our grandchildren, what God's Word has said. I raise a question to you tonight. What are we teaching people we come in contact with? God pity the day we don't hold true to this book. And see that this book has the power, this gospel, the Word of God, to change lives. We don't need any creed. We don't need any catechism. We don't need man's wisdom. The power is in this book. And God help us to show people Christ. I want to raise another question. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Will you let Him in? As together we stand and sing.